If you've never seen a lock before, it's basically a long concrete channel filled with water. A freighter goes in one end. Gates close in front and behind it, so the water level can be raised or lowered to move the ship up or down and out the other end. Here, that channel's empty and dry, and you can see how huge this lock really is. I get a queasy feeling as I ease onto the steep metal stairs. I can see the lock floor 80 feet below me. Maintenance director Jesse Hinojosa radios down to the bottom. He says workers lose track of how often they climb these stairs.
We should get a good count of that. They go up and down all day long.
I take it step by step. There's a temporary roof overhead, and the only light comes from flood lamps. The gates are open so they can be worked on, so at one end of the lock are stop locks, stacked steel that temporarily keeps the river out. Still, some water rushes through and has to be pumped. The entire lock is almost 3 football fields long. Partway down, a giant plastic curtain protects the workspace from sub-zero temperatures. Paul Gemetta tops off the fuel tank of one of 10 furnaces that heat the area. He wears a fleece hat and big yellow boots. During the shipping season, he helps guide freighters in and out of the lock. But in the winter, he shifts to a totally different line of work.
Chipping concrete or stuff like that, painting, whatever has to be done.
It's an old lock. There's a lot of chipping concrete.
Oh, yeah. There's no end to that. What you fix today, years later, you start all over again.
Winter maintenance has been an annual job on this lock since the Seaway system opened in 1959. The scale of the work is almost impossible to wrap your mind around. To raise or lower a freighter, the lock flushes 22 million gallons of water in just 7 minutes. It uses gears, valves, tunnels, and huge gates to accomplish the task. Most of that equipment is original, now almost 50 years old. Every winter, it all has to be checked out and tested. Some parts are replaced. Tom Levine directs the Seaway's engineering department. He points to the lock's crumbling concrete walls. He says that's one of the biggest problems.
The bad stuff where the bad concrete is, you take a hammer, it sounds like a hollow wall. And these walls, where you're looking at here, are like 60 feet into the backfill. I mean, solid concrete, and you wouldn't believe it.
Albert Jaquez holds his hard hat and looks up at the walls. He's the St. Lawrence Seaway's U.S. administrator, based in Washington. His demeanor is like that of a homeowner wincing at his rickety porch or rotting roof.
Well, what I see is a system that has worked well for a half a century, but that in the near future needs a major overhaul.
There are 22 other locks in the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Seaway system. Most are owned by Canada. A binational study is underway to answer a critical question. How much will it cost to keep repairing all these locks and other infrastructure so they work for another 50 years? Jaquez says the answer the study finds could determine whether the Seaway gets a facelift or is left as is until it fails.
Whatever those decisions are will be what they are, whether it's, you know, we're going to invest or we're not going to invest. But they at least need the baseline numbers so that they know what they have ahead of them.
But the study has been delayed. Lawmakers will have to wait at least a year longer than they expected because the project is so big. And President Bush has cut funding for the study in his budget plan by more than a half, which could delay it even further. Meanwhile, keeping the Seaway open becomes more of a challenge every year. Jaquez says it's like an old car.
As it ages, we have to spend more and more time on it because we have more work to do.
And workers face a hard deadline. Before spring shipping begins, where we're standing will be flooded under 30 feet of water, so the lock can be ready to welcome the first freighter of the season. For the GLRC, I'm David Summerstein.